Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Once again, in the beginning of 2018, the year that we don't know what's going to happen, the uncertainty is out there, but one thing is certain, political rocks are going to keep on cracking and falling. Last week, President Donald Trump made a mistake. I'm going to tell you what it was in just a minute, but let me remind you on this show, I told you last week, we're going to talk some about health care. We got Dr. Miles Schneider, who's the author of a book about health care. We got him coming on, so we're going to be talking to him today. I'll share you a little bit, like I have in the past, about a plan that I think would be the best to replace Obamacare. But before we get to that, let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. And listen, we have show after show in the archives. Go back and listen to those. But it just gets better each and every week as far as what to pick from. And yes, we could talk all kind of stories. But President Trump made a mistake last week. But what was his mistake? Well, he used an expletive in saying something last week about immigration. And that's after the day before he had gotten some good reviews about how he handled negotiations about DACA at the White House with Democrats and Republicans all around the table, and he was in control. But let's play a clip from CBS News and get a little background, and then I'll tell you exactly where President Trump's mistake was last week.
A bipartisan group of six senators said Thursday that they reached an agreement on immigration, but Republican leaders said that everyone else isn't going to, quote, fall in line just because some members of Congress reached an agreement among themselves. At a meeting on immigration at the White House earlier, President Trump reportedly asked, why do we want all these people from expletive countries here? We should bring in more people from places like Norway. Jordan Fraser is a video reporter covering politics for the Washington Post, and he joins me now from Washington. So, Jordan, how does a question like that from the president, you think, affect negotiations on immigration?
Well, it certainly doesn't help negotiations, that's for sure. And for as crass as the president's comment was, this is a sentiment that we have seen from Donald Trump before, right? He campaigned on an American first platform. And I think that's what we're seeing here. He's reflecting that in these comments. We've seen it before in his Muslim ban suggestions. So this is nothing new, but what's for sure is it's not going to help things move along on Capitol Hill.
Well, the White House has to sign off on whatever lawmakers come up with, and I want to play some of what President Trump said about this when he met with lawmakers on Tuesday.
There should be no reason for us not to get this done. And Chuck, I will say, when this group comes back, hopefully with an agreement, this group and others from the Senate, from the House, comes back with an agreement, I'm signing it. I mean, I will be signing it. I'm not going to say, oh, gee, I want this or I want that. I'll be signing it because I have a lot of confidence in the people in this room that you're going to come out with something really good. Senator,
Now, that was President Trump at the White House with Democrats and Republicans saying he would sign it. Said, you get together, the Republicans, Democrats, House, Senate, you put together whatever bill you want, and I'll sign it. That's what President Trump told him. Then the next day, when talking about immigration, he used the words what they mentioned before, using the expletive and talking about why do we want immigrants from these countries. And this is his mistake. He made a mistake. Now, what I remember back in campaign days, he'd used some foul language, and he said that No more. He wasn't going to do that in public. Of course, this is the thing. He wasn't in public, but he's got to know that when he uses language like that around a lot of people, they're going to go out and say things. And, of course, it was all over the papers, all over the news, everywhere. And what he, his sentiments is not about the color of skin. And everybody going, oh, he's, Doc Holliday's taking up for President Trump. No, I've already told you, he made a mistake. This is what he, I think he's wanting to get across. This is what he should have said. Why are we trying to get immigration from countries that are just crazy, that they have no system of government, that they don't understand our government? Let's get immigrants who will come here legally and who will add to the American experience, to making America great again. What can you offer America? Then let's take in immigrants, but let's help them plug in to make America better. Let's pick and choose. And you don't take somebody from a country who, that country is just absolutely been insane for decades. It doesn't matter the color of skin. It's, are they insane? I mean, is the system of government, is it stable? Do people understand democracy and voting? Do they get a chance to? And there's going to be exceptions everywhere. But that's, you know, the mass numbers of people don't need to come from countries who are basket cases for governments. That's not going to make America great again. Yes, let's take the sharpest people. Yes, let's decide who gets to come in our country. Don't look at skin color. And that's exactly where President Trump made a mistake, because the liberal press went right into skin color, dividing everybody up. And the reason he said, why don't we have more immigrants like some country like Norway? Because it's a stable government. And he had just met with the Norway president the day before. So that's why it was on his mind. But now, am I taking fully up for Donald Trump? No. He shouldn't have used the word. And he should have said that in a way that let people understand he's talking about basket case governments, countries that have basket case governments. Why do we need a lot of immigrants from those countries who don't understand a stable democracy? Yes, let's send in and help those countries like we have been for decade after decade after decade, and yet they still, you know, it's like nutcases running the government, because it's always, always, and decade after decade, a problem when there's nothing but problems there. So that's where President Trump made his mistake last week. Will we learn from it? Well, let's hope he does. And where does that leave DACA? Well, this week, you may know, I'm recording this show, and I don't know how it's going to turn out. There's a lot of distance if the Democrats won't accept the wall. I mean, how can you say there's some form of legalization without protection of the borders? You know, I don't see how that's going to work out. So hopefully the Congress, the House, and the Senate will get together and work it out. The president said he'd sign a bill. He's done his part. So that's the saga of DACA. Now let's center this show right on health care. Let me give you, in a nutshell, Doc Holliday's plan that I think's the best thing out there that can whip Obamacare in a second. But basically, in a nutshell, my plan is to use blockchain technology. I think it would work across the entire healthcare spectrum. But let's just, for making things simple, let's just take the plan A, that was just take the segment of the population, the working lower class, those who in the scale of economy are making on the low end, let's say up to $60,000-$75,000 a year. And again, that's depending on family and how many children you got. That can be flexible. But everyone who has a job will get health care. And health care premiums, because right now what happens when the premiums go sky high and they're killing people and having families having to pay just premiums of $25,000 and $30,000 a year. That is not sustainable. Unsustainable. Obamacare is dying. It's close to death. So those things that are not sustainable, you know, it's got to go somewhere. How do you get the reason the premiums going up? Because there's more and more and the uninsured. They're trying to get insured through the Obamacare subsidies and Medicaid. But what I say, anybody that's got a job can get health care, but they get paid with the best thing that I can call it is a blockchain coin. And I'm not talking about Bitcoin or not talking about cryptocurrencies, but maybe a cousin of a cryptocurrency for those who understand what I'm talking about. If you don't worry about it. It gets very technical. But the blockchain technology is here to stay. And it's going to come more and more into our lives. A lot of people say it's like the internet was in 1990. And look how it's changed our lives in the last 25 years. But listen, one of the things that we have to understand is blockchain is coming. But in the healthcare field, you can take those who are on the lower end of the income scale and their families, and anybody who's got a job, you can use the blockchain technologies and make sure that they have money available. And it wouldn't be actual cash, but it'd be something that would be given to them in a, we could call it a med coin or an ed coin or a frank coin, but it'd be something that they could use if they needed it to pay their doctor bill, their health care bill. And the doctors would, those doctors who wanted to accept it, not everybody'd have to accept it, it's just whichever doctors wanted to accept it, they could, using blockchain technology, they can accumulate these coins. When I say coins, it's not literally coins, it's an electronic coin. But they collect that, and only doctors and healthcare providers can use this to do what? Well, you set it up where they can pay the IRS, they can pay off their student loans, and they can do similar things that only that it gives them special ability to do, and they can collect this. And there's a whole rim that I've worked up on it, but that's what you need to know. And what that does is take the pressure off others having to have higher premiums to pay for what's happening now. So the premiums will come down for everybody. And using health savings accounts for the families, that for all families, that would help everybody lower the cost of health care. Yes, I think blockchain technologies could help payment across the entire spectrum. But like I said, plan A would be to help the working poor, those lower income, those who need help with families, up to $75,000 a year. And that would be the plan that beats the socks off Obamacare. And it would help make America great again. But saying that, we do have a guest who's written a book, and I want you to hear his plan. And so we're going to interview him right after this.
Hello, America. Todd Starnes here from the Fox News corner of the world, and you are listening to Rock Splittin' Politics. Sweet mercy.
Woo, all right.
That's good.
Yes, sirree. That's our friend Todd Starnes from the Fox News Network, and hope you listen to him on Fox Radio and his different shows. But that reminds me to remind you that you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splittin' Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. And listen, you can go to my website, DocHolliday.org. You can order a book. We got a book out that I wrote with Dr. Avita King, and we are celebrating her uncle's birthday this week. Her uncle is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and she helped write the book along with Dr. Alex McFarland called Bedrock Truths. You can go to my webpage, order that book. You need one for your friends and family and those liberal friends you have. Let them know what the bedrock truths are. So order that book. Go to the website. You can go to the front page of our show right here, and it'll have a cover of the book. You can click on that, and it'll take you right there. So now, let's get ready to hear from Dr. Miles Schneider about his health care plan. Well, we welcome on the show today Dr. Miles Schneider. He's got a book out. And Dr. Schneider, tell us about your book.
Well, it's called Restoring Health to Healthcare. And I got the idea because for years we keep having problems with healthcare, obviously, and it's been the news now because of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. But since 60, it's been 50 years, 2010, before we had Obamacare, costs of healthcare were going up, premiums, co-pays, deductibles.
Right.
And one of the purposes of the Affordable Care Act, with the word affordable, was to make it affordable. But premiums are still going up, despite all the recent controversies with it. It just didn't work from that standpoint, for sure. And I believe it didn't work is the same reason why it's never worked before. Healthcare is that we concentrate on the results of the problem. The results are high premiums, high copays, high costs. The real problem is disease. And unless we do something to get people to realize that they don't have to be as sick as they are, and we will never get this problem under control, no matter what we do. And that's what the book's basically about. But it's not about, half the book's about what you could do for yourself. The important thing that's really unique, especially, is the first half talks about what the government should do. And, for example, if you choose to be healthy, you can get $5,000 check at the end of the year, or a tax deduction or a tax break if you choose to be healthy. I mean, I'm making a quick synopsis of what it's about, but that's essentially,
right,
in a nutshell, what it's about.
Well, tell me what I know my listeners would be very interested in. Of course, we know what's happened with the premiums, after the Affordable Care Act. They've gone sky high. And what do you do as far as, and I think we all can agree, the key on the disease, and everybody lives healthier lives, and ways to benefits of that is, just like you said, get a $5,000 off your income,
right,
tax. But tell me, how does this work with to me, I see a lot of times the health insurance company, the medical insurance companies, they, of course, take a big cut out of everything. And there's so many middlemen in healthcare between the doctor and the patient. Now, does your plan, does it help cut out the middle people?
That's a great question. The bottom line is, we just back up a little bit. We know, and I don't want to. You know, I can go on and on, but I don't. I realize the time is important,
right, too.
We know that 70% of diseases, including heart attacks, stroke, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, conditions like obesity, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. We know all those diseases and more. 70%. That's most of them are avoidable. I'm going to say are avoidable by early detection, plus making some healthy lifestyle choices. So if in fact, the government, for if in fact you go for a physical year one, you get a physical exam, whatever your health is, it is, bad or good. The end of the year, next year, the doctor says you have to, let's say if you're not healthy, lose 20 pounds, get your blood sugar down, we want to get your cholesterol down. If you come in and you do that, depending on how good you do, you can get up to $5,000 back from the government. Now, the bottom line is, according to the middleman, the health insurance, the doctors, the hospitals, if you don't have as much disease, you cut down the demand for service. The premiums can't go up. They won't be paying out as much money. You won't be going to the doctor as much. They won't need as many drugs. That's the real premise of what this is all about, and it is definitely doable. Last year we spent $3.345 trillion on healthcare overall, everybody,
right,
government. If 70% of that is $2.341 trillion. Now, we won't save all of that because people are still going to get sick to some extent. They're still going to need medicines to some extent, but that's a lot of money. We'll have plenty of money. We'd have plenty of money to insure everybody if we choose to, who can't afford it. And that's my answer to you as far as, that's why it's a great question. If you're not sick, you don't need it. You don't need the services as much. And
right,
that's how you end the problem.
Well, and how do you work with, how would you say working if, one of the biggest government expenses is Medicaid, and I don't know if you've worked with Medicaid, in the past I have as a dentist, and there are, you run into some problems where you love a lot of the patients, but sometimes, like with children, the parents, they don't bring them in, or they don't show up for appointments. They're always, some in our society are so hooked on drugs they don't even care about their kids.
Well, that's another story, but I agree with you. I mean, that's the opioid thing. Now, that's interesting, because that's theoretically, on paper, opioid addiction or any addiction is theoretically 100% preventable. But that's not just medical field, that's law enforcement involvement, and more, and there's going to need an education program. I know President Trump has talked about, why doesn't pharmaceutical companies think about coming up with a drug that cuts out on pain but not become addictive, and spend their energy in that? Maybe, I don't know if that's possible, but it's a good idea. Yeah, I know what you're saying about that. You know, unfortunately, these people, my opinion is, if someone's on Medicaid and whatever, if we don't get them insurance and they get sick, ultimately they're going to go to a hospital when they're really sick. Costs are going to be higher. And let's face it, one way or the other, we, the taxpayer, are going to be paying for it one way or the other. So I'm
right.
You can't force them to go to the doctor. I agree with you. That's unfortunate.
And because you can't force them to go to the doctor, it means you can't force them to lose 20 pounds or 100 pounds, whatever they need to do.
Correct. But if you tell somebody, whether they're rich or poor, that you can get X amount of dollars for trying to be healthier, or your premiums are going to be decreased, or your subsidies, if you're on Medicaid, could be increased if you're healthier, because you know you're not going to use it as much, that might be enough of an impetus to get people to start doing something about it on their own.
Again, that's what I like what you're pointing out, because I do believe there's people, especially in the Medicaid program and Medicare and just regular insurance, people, everybody would like some money in their pockets. So, yeah, you could see, you know, you had a healthy goal, and you reach that goal and you get $5,000, you could get a lot more people trying to make themselves healthy. And right now you got families paying premiums of $20,000 and $25,000 a year, some of $30,000 a year since this Affordable Care Act, which is neither affordable nor does it seem very caring.
You know, interesting enough, most people who get the Affordable Care Act insurance are people having trouble living the paycheck to paycheck as it is. And, you know, 90% of their policies have a minimum of $100,000 deductible, going up to much higher, which to a person living paycheck to paycheck is almost like not having any insurance.
Right,
I mean, it's better than nothing, but
yeah,
it's still a big problem.
Exactly. And so with your plan, now, how would you start? If the president of Congress look at your plan and say, hey, we like this, we'd like to get started, does it start all over the country, or you start with the Medicaid or the Medicare or just private insurance?
That's another great question. It depends. You know, things are always slow and quiet, Congress. So I had an idea that you're right. You take a couple of million people, volunteer to go for what I call this wellness exam. Mm-hmm. And they get the exam, just a couple million people. And then the end of the year, the ones that do well can get up to $5,000 from the government and see how well this is going to work. Because I'm telling you, it's going to work. There's a major corporation, won't name names, it's nothing bad, but they had a bunch of employees that smoked a lot. And they found their people in the insurance part of human resources showed them that they were spending almost $6,000 a year average on a smoker than a non-smoker. So that they didn't want to fire anybody, so they put a program up, and all the incentive was they can get up, a person can get up to $800 a year incentive financially if they'd stop smoking. And they had a remarkable results with that. But the problem was, it was like a one-year thing, and they stopped. So some people went back. But the bottom line is, it worked. And that's just $800. I'm talking about $5,000. I'm talking about you can get it every year if you really qualify. And if you're healthy, you go on and on and on, because the amount of money we're going to save at the other end is just enormous.
Well, let me follow up with that. When you're talking about going and getting a wellness exam, Would it be something where you take a geographic region and do that? Are we talking about all over the country? Or
well,
how do you
ideally
see that?
Like to be it over the country, but if the government wants proof of it, my ultimate plan for right now is actually, because they're going to, right now we've got to stabilize what's going on, because the Affordable Care Act's going to die, and that even though in the long run I think it's okay, but there are people there who are going to really get hurt if we let it die. Either we're going to let it die or come up with a plan right away, or stabilize it for a year or two, take a part of the country, or as far as I'm concerned, you could do the whole country. I think there's money for the whole country, but if people want proof of it, then you can take a certain segment. Either one part, just have, like I said, have X million people volunteer to try it and see what happens.
Well, I wish you'd get your idea and come down to the state of Mississippi. We got about 2.5-3 million people, and a lot of them on Medicaid, so maybe you could get to try it out on the state of Mississippi.
Well, that's an idea. I mean, we are trying to get up to Capitol Hill, because I live in not far from D.C. I live in Virginia, but it's not far. So we are working on that right now. Hopefully we can do it.
Well, that's what I would say. I bet there's some people, because I think we're the most unhealthiest state in the nation, in Mississippi.
Really? Yeah.
And of course our show goes out across the country here, but if you want to try to get it somewhere, if they want to pinpoint one place, I bet you get some people helping the state of Mississippi, because we got the highest Medicaid match from federal government, state government, because we have so many problems.
It can help a lot of people.
Yeah, because if you could prove it down here in one state and get people healthy, and then that would be a dramatic proof of your plan.
You're right. Absolutely. I agree.
Dr. Snyder, I'm glad you're on the show, and I want to ask you some more questions. Right now, tell me about how do people get your book? And I know, again, the title of that book is the Restoring Health to Healthcare, A Simple, Uncomplicated Plan, which we need something simple in this country. But now, how did they get your book?
Well, my website is milesofhealth.com, or wherever books are sold.
Oh, good.
Or Amazon.com, Noble, any bookstores, everywhere.
Well, good. Well, Dr. Snyder, one of the questions as far as what I think my listeners would like to know, and when you put this book together, how many years did you have this plan? I mean, how long have you been working at trying to get something?
That's another good question. Actually, I was writing something else about 9 years ago, and I came across a couple of things that just struck me. I came across a joint statement in 2004 by American Cancer Association, American Heart Association, American Diabetes Association, stating that 2/3 of deaths in the country at that time were due to those diseases. And I remember this quote. It's still stuck with me today. There's incontrovertible proof, they said, of the financial and medical positive effectiveness of early detection and lifestyle choices. 2007, I found a study from Ontario Ministry of Health that said 80% of diabetes, 90% of diabetes, 30% of cancer, and 80% of heart disease are preventable by early detection and lifestyle choices. And the same thing from the World Health Organization and the CDC in 2010. And the three things they talked about were nutrition, exercise, and smoking. They didn't even talk about things like sleep and hydration and stress. Just those three things could prevent 70% of those actually more than that, 80% of those terrible diseases, of which we spend 75% of our healthcare expenditures are on those people with chronic diseases. And that's when I thought about, well, geez, it's got to be a way. So I started writing it, and then it took years for me to figure out how it could really work financially, because I'm in the medical field. You know, I'm not an economist or an actuary. And so that's where it started. It started years ago when I actually started thinking about it.
Well, that's one reason I wanted you on the program, because I knew anybody that comes up with a plan, it doesn't just fall into place. I know, and we've talked about on my show some ideas I have, and it takes years to try to see how it can work through the system. But now you're talking about how bad smoking is, and I don't know if you got any research or what you've heard on this. What is comparing tobacco smoke to marijuana smoke, which marijuana is just taking off now in California, and it's being legalized in California and Colorado and other places, and it seems to be more and more young people going to marijuana, smoking marijuana again. So now how does that, is that good for our health or good for the health of the nation? Is it compared to tobacco smoke, or what do you have any?
I don't think it's as bad as tobacco smoke in some ways. I mean, obviously they use it for medicinal purposes. I know smoking, it's too bad, because smoking in general, we had the biggest, we've gone from 17%, I still can't believe 15% of the population smoke regular cigarettes, adults, but it's a 2% drop in the last couple of years, which is the largest drop in a long time. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I guess it's sort of in the realm of, you know, alcohol came first, and now you're going to go home and smoke some marijuana. I've never smoked in my life, so I wouldn't know what it's like. But
well, I'm with you. I haven't either, so I don't know what.
For personal purposes, I'm not a big fan of it, I'll tell you that much.
Well, I just, you know, we were trying to get healthy, and then all of a sudden we got the smoking, and I guess second.
I'm not a big fan of that.
Secondhand smoke marijuana could do more for you.
That's right.
I guess in the short term, I don't know about the long term, but I just thought I'd ask you that, since that's all over the headlines today.
Yeah.
But going back to your overall plan, I know we got to finish up here in a couple minutes.
Okay, that's fine.
But how do you get your plan to be heard on Capitol Hill? I mean, you have to go to D.C. You're nearby.
Well, I'm nearby. One, we try to get meetings with some, we're starting to try to get meetings with some of the congressional people or their staffers. The other thing is being on a lot of shows. I've been on, I keep getting on shows, and more people hear about it, and I'm hoping more people will talk about it. But that's what I'm doing. We just had a meeting about the people who are helping me with this. Had a meeting on this the other day, and that's where, since I live near D.C., I'm ready to go. So we're trying to have some meetings set up and see if we can't get some people interested in doing something about this. Because, the way it is now, the Affordable Care Act, in my opinion, is either going down or they're going to have to change. It's not going to work. And we have maybe a year window at best that we have to get this figured out. And now's the right time to do something, to do the same thing we've done over and over again for the last 60 years is not going to work. And we have to change the way we think about health, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Dr. Snyder, I appreciate you being on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics and sharing insights from your book. And I do encourage your listeners to go look for your book at the bookstore or go on Amazon. And I'd love to follow up with you sometime and see how things are going, Dr. Snyder.
That'd be great. I'd love it. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. And with Dr. Snyder there, I hope you enjoyed that conversation. And we have got to replace Obamacare. It's got to be repealed and replaced. I like getting people on it and share ideas, but what the Republicans have done in the past has failed. They got to start over with a new plan and tell your senators and congressmen about Doc Holliday's health care plan. I'll be glad to get it to them. Show them how I can draw a Christmas tree and show you how to save the health care for America and make us healthier, wealthier, and working together. We will make America not only great again, but the best it's ever been. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.